Let's thank our choir for helping us to get started. Oh man, I love that. Y'all gotta come back and do that again. What song are we doing at the end of service? Amadi, we're gonna scratch that. Let's bring the choir. Can we bring the choir back for this one? I say encore. Say amen if you want to hear the choir sing that song again. All right, so that's gonna be that. We're gonna close out with that song. Amen. There are some privileges to be in the minister. Good morning, everyone. We are going to start a new sermon series today called Soul Food. Soul Food. This is the second quarter in our vertical focus for this year. We are encouraging the church to take our worship of God higher by practicing Mark 12, verse 30, which clearly says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And we're going to focus on soul today and for the next several weeks. We're going to look at the soul. We're going to talk about the soul. We're going to talk about how to feed our soul, how to identify the conditions of our soul. But I think before we can get into all that, we first got to know what in the world the soul is in the first place. Can we do that? So we're going to start off talking about what the soul is. Let's go to God with the word of prayer. Our awesome God and Father in heaven, Lord, I want to truly thank you for giving us a place to worship. Father, we are so grateful for your son, Jesus, taking our sins to the cross and to the grave and coming back on the third day as he promised to give us a new life and a new hope and a new beginning. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that feeds our soul, that encourages our soul, that leads our soul. And we pray that today as we dig into the word and as we learn more about this precious gift that you've given us, God, I pray that you'll help us to learn how to better take care of our souls. And God, we pray that your word and your spirit will move in us today, that those of us who are uncertain of where we stand with you, I pray that we'll leave here a little clearer on that today, God, and that we will take further steps in our relationship with you. We love and thank you. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Today, so we're going to focus on loving the Lord our God with all our soul. But before we can do that, you know, when I read this past, sometimes you look at the heart. It says to love the Lord your God with all your heart. Check. All right. I know what that means. I have a heart that's beating in my body. Loving the Lord with all your soul, let me skip over that. Loving the Lord with all your mind and with all your strength, those are pretty clear. But have you really stopped to consider what does God really mean when he says to love him with all your soul? One of the most important words in the Bible is soul. It's over 750 times in Scripture. But the word gets thrown around a lot. But if someone were to ask you to explain what the word soul means, how would you explain it? We all know we have one, right? But how would you explain it to someone if they didn't know? Now, most of us grew up saying the following prayer. Tell me if you remember this. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Now, as I was writing that, you know, I was reminded of that prayer. I used to pray that prayer all the time as a little kid. But that's a kind of scary thing to pray for a five-year-old when you're saying those words in the dark by yourself. I mean, I pray the Lord my soul if I die. Before I pray the Lord my soul to take. I'm thinking, no, keep my soul in my body. But, you know, it's a scary thing to pray. But how do you explain the soul? They're different. There's so many different definitions. So many people have tried to define what the soul is. Let's look at a few. Can you guys see that? All right. The soul of a man, person says, what the soul of a man is the sun by which his body is illumined. And from which it draweth its sustenance and should be so regarded. Yeah. Another person wrote, the soul is by definition the unifying and vivifying principle that accounts for the life and what philosophers call the immanent action of all living things. The word immanent comes from two Latin words that mean to remain and to end, and immanent action means the multiple parts that comprise a living being are able to act from within in a unified way and in accordance with its given nature for the good of the whole being. The soul is what accounts for this unified action that is essential for there to be life. Did you get that? Neither did I. Neither did I. That was a mouthful. You know, you can't talk about soul. You can't talk about art. You can't talk about music. You can't talk about dancing without talking about soul. I mean, we go to our marriage retreats, and there's some couples that get up there. You're like, man, that brother got a lot of soul. Look at how he's dancing, right? I mean, we use it to describe certain celebrities. Aretha Franklin was the queen of soul. James Brown was the godfather of soul. Otis Redding, we call the king of soul. You know, I was looking for some Latin people, but I don't really know. You guys got to help me out next time. I couldn't find any Latin people of soul, but I know we got some in the church, especially when you got Leo up here. And you know, he's the brother singing with soul right there. You get what I'm saying? We use it to describe our food. Soul food. A nickname given to the Southern cooking style when slaves could only use what they were given. They took them chitlins, they took the leftover pigs, they took what was remaining from the corn, and they made soul food. It was so good that their soul was happy. They forgot their circumstances because the food was so good. Have you ever had food that was so good it made your body just want to pass out, right? Soul power. Soul brother, soul sister. We use it to explain how important someone is to a franchise or an organization. Derek Jeter was given the title, the soul of the Yankees. And when we talk about love and spending our lives with that special someone, what do we seek out? A soulmate. You ever wonder where that term came from? Some of us was like, yes, it's in the Bible. The rib is my soulmate, right? Well, actually, it was taken from Plato's Symposium, where he quotes Aristophanes, who was discussing the topic of love. Now, this was a Greek mythology, so he basically said that humans were once eight-limbed, two-headed creatures that the gods considered too powerful and thus split them in half to make them weaker. Humans are naturally unhappy and unfulfilled in this state. Therefore, your soulmate is literally your other half, the person with whom you combine to create a whole human as you were meant to be. That's where it came from. The universal distress signal, SOS, is said to stand for save our souls. So what is the soul? We use the word a lot. I mean, there's a lot of other words, ways the word is used. Let's look at what the Bible says over in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Here in Genesis, you know, God is creating, he's creating the world, he's made animals, plants, he's separated the heaven or the skies from land, and he put creatures in the water, and then he decides to form man. In verse 7 it says, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now, the King James Version reads, and man became a living soul. Now, God breathed the breath of life into this formed body, transforming it into a living being, or literally a living soul. Genesis 1 verse 26 says that God made us in his image, in his likeness. But if God is spirit and has no human form, then how can we be like God? How can we reflect God's likeness? Now, you read through the Bible, you realize that God is eternal. In Revelation, God is called the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. In Genesis, God has been here before the world was formed. God was still here in Revelation. God has always been and always will. He exists outside of time. We can't even comprehend God, the Bible says. So with all the wisdom and all our years on earth and all our Bible study and all our books in school, we could not understand God. We can't wrap our minds around God, but yet God gave us a piece of him that's like him, that's eternal. Our soul is the only thing that can live forever that's within us. Therefore, by doing so, God made us by nature spiritual beings. We have a piece of God that's a part of us that no other part of God's creation shares. We're the only ones, which makes us so special. Now, God has given us this gift, which also gives us the capacity and thirst for spiritual things. You know, sometimes we want something, we desire something so deeply, and once we get it, we realize that it's not enough. Maybe it was your soul hungering for God. You know, our body has the capacity, our soul has the capacity to have a relationship with God, to understand and grasp spiritual things. It also gives us the capacity to serve and fellowship with God. You know, like this one scholar says, you and I were designed to know God personally. Dogs don't pray, birds don't worship, fish don't praise, but we do. Why? Because there is an awareness of God inside every human heart. It is this God consciousness that makes us want to know God and makes us eager to find out why we exist. There is a deep need in us to know why are we here. Books have been written about it. Movies have been made about it. Papers, theologians, scientists have all spent careers trying to answer why are we here. And what they're really trying to do without realizing it is they're trying to feed that God-sized hunger in their lives. You know, there's more to us than flesh and bone. There's a part of us that was connected to God from the very beginning, a part of us that was disconnected from God when the first act of sin took place. And God has been trying to reconnect us with man ever since. And our soul is the only thing that we take into eternity. Our soul longs for the eternal God. It longs to be reconnected with God. It's why when we're baptized into Christ, when our souls are saved, when our sins are forgiven, we feel like a new creation because in a sense we are. It's a reconnection that we feel when we're reconnected with God. It's why repentance is refreshing. Because your soul is being refreshed. Yes, now I'm connected to the power source once again. This is why we feel miserable when there's sin cherished in our hearts. It's because our soul is like, no. I need to be connected to God. And when we try to meet these needs in humanistic ways, it'll never suffice. There is literally a God-sized vacuum in all of mankind that can only be filled by God himself. James, give me some script. Amen. There you go. Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet, they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. The most important thing in your life is not what you do. It's who you become. That's who you'll take with you into eternity. If you're a school teacher, you're not going to be a school teacher forever. If you're whatever profession you are, you're not even going to be married forever. You're not going to be a parent forever. You can't take your kids with you to heaven. Lord knows I wish I could. You can't take your wife with you into heaven. Lord knows I wish I could. She's got to get herself there. We're working to help each other out, but in heaven, there's no marriage. We're not even going to be married in heaven. Our soul is so important that God devised a plan to assure that every soul makes it. He sent his own son to give his own life. He said, this is that important. Your soul is the only thing you can take with you into eternity. You are a never-ending spiritual being with an eternal destiny. The soul is the most important part of us. The most important part of us. Now, that should encourage you if you're trying to get into shape. I know when I studied this and I thought, well, you know, my soul is the most, amen. So if I go to heaven a few pounds overweight, that ain't going to matter. Because I get a new body anyway. But my soul is what's most important. That's where I really need to give attention to. You know, most often we think about external things. Our reputation and our appearance. How much we have and what others think or approve of us. In our external world, we focus more on what's visible, what's obvious. We keep tabs on our progress and success. We believe that improving our circumstances will lead to true happiness. But our soul lives in a private, unseen world. And in this world, it could be chaotic, dark, and messy, and no one would know about it. That's why we have to give attention to our soul. One scholar puts it this way. He says, what is running your life at any given moment is your soul, not external circumstances. Not your thoughts, not your intentions, not even your feelings, but your soul. The soul is that aspect of your whole being that correlates, integrates, and enlivens everything going on in the various dimensions of the self. The soul is the life center of every human being. So what is the soul? Very simply, the soul is the center of all human beings. It is at the very core of who you are. Our soul is the part of us that connects our thoughts, it connects our feelings, it connects our will. If you don't believe me, think about this. Have you ever felt so passionately about something that it affected every part of you? The way you thought, your outlook on life. It even affected your physiology. Maybe you've grown more depressed, or you wanted to sleep more, or you felt yourself more unhappy, and your outlook on everything was just grim. Everything that you would hear or see would just make your feeling more and more inward and more sad. It's because it's affecting a part of your body that's connected to everything else. It's why when we think about certain things, it leads to our actions. And our actions will impact our will. All of that is held together by a core central system, which is your soul. So sometimes we think, well, let me just will myself out of this habit. You can try. You may go a week, you may go a year, you may go months, but it won't really change unless you deal with what's inside. Our soul thirsts for spiritual sustenance. Look at that 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10. Now, this is a story about Hannah. We all know Hannah's prayer, right? Hannah longed to have children, and she was tormented by her rival, her husband's second wife, she had kids and she was tormenting Hannah. She would throw it in her face that she had kids and she didn't. And she just made her feel miserable. And it got to the point where Hannah couldn't take it anymore. And so in verse 10, it says, in 1 Samuel 1, verse 10, it says, in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. You go down to verse 15. This is after she was confronted and thought that she was drunk. And she said, no, not so, my Lord. Hannah replied, I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Hannah's desire went so deep that it affected every part of her. It affected her heart, her soul. She said she described her soul as being bitter. And she prayed. She said that she was pouring out her soul. It impacted her physiology. You know, our soul is the deepest part of us. It's the whole person. It's so simple to see why Satan pulls out all stops to go after our soul. Because he knows that it's the most important part. He knows that it's the only thing about us that really matters. He doesn't just settle for how you think. He doesn't just settle for how you're living. He wants to go after the very precious thing that God has given us because he knows that is the thing that really matters, is their soul. You know, our soul, the condition of our soul, the health of our soul impacts all of us, the whole being. And your body cannot survive without the soul. Have you ever been to a funeral? To see someone you once knew, and you see them in the coffin, and they don't look the same. Their body is there, but something's missing. Their soul. It's the soul that gives us life. It's our soul that we see when we look at each other. Without the soul, we're not the same. The body can't survive without the soul. And your soul is what integrates your will, your intentions and your mind, the thoughts and your feelings, your body, your face, your body language, your actions, all into one single life. You know, when you think about a healthy soul can be considered as one that's well-ordered, that's connected, that's in harmony between all three. Your mind, your body, your will all work together. You know, you're trying to achieve the will of God, and you the Bible says, you know, you take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ because you want your mind and your will to be in sync. And eventually your body will follow, the flesh follows wherever our mind tells us to go. But then there's something that's feeding our mind, and it's your soul. Your soul is what's feeding your heart. Your soul is what's feeding your mind. When our soul is healthy. We're connected to God. But when our soul is disconnected from God, there's disorder. There's chaos. And our soul is unhealthy. You know, in Romans 8, verse 7, it says, the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Why? Because it's impossible for the mind to operate outside of the soul. It's all connected. And so we try to do the right thing, but if your life is not under the control of God, you may want to do the right thing, but you're not going to be able to. Is what Paul is saying right here. You know, how many times have you said, you know, I wanted to do the right thing? Paul said in the chapter before, the good I want to do, I can't do when his sinful nature takes over. When the sinful nature takes control of our soul, the good things we want to do, we come to church each week and we're like, man, that was great. I want to go and do this. And then as soon as we get home, our sinful nature wipes our memory banks clean. And we forgot everything the preacher said. That's why we got to feed our soul. And we're going to talk about that next week. You know, if your soul is healthy, no external circumstance can destroy your life. If your soul is healthy, the world can be falling apart around you. And you'll be all right. Because you're connected to God. You know, Job, it says that in all the things that gone on in Job's life, although it was hard, although it was tough, the Bible says that he did not sin by accusing God of mistreatment. His life fell apart. I don't know of anybody that would stay faithful to God that endured half of what Job did. He lost his family. He lost his business, his home. He lost everything in one night. And then your soulmate tells you, why are you still holding on to your integrity? Why don't you curse God and die? Your wife tells you, come on, man, why are you still staying close to God? I mean, got kicked when he was down. But he kept his soul connected to God. And although the world fell apart around him, at the end, he was still connected to God. So when your soul is healthy, no outside circumstance can impact you. But when your soul is not healthy, when your soul is not anchored, your world falls apart around you and you fall apart inside. And this is why it's so important that our soul is anchored in God. David understood how important the health of his soul was. And when he sinned, he would turn to God for help. In Psalm 31, verses 9 and 10, listen to what he says. It says, be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and my body with grief. My life is consumed by the anguish, and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction, and my body grows weak. Right there in verse 10, my affliction could also be because of my guilt. Whatever David did, he was going through it. And his soul was impacted by his sin, whatever sin he committed at that time. You know, it's an important note to take is that sin always changes the condition of our soul. It always does. You may not feel the impacts right away. It's just like smoking to the lungs. You may have smoked for years and you may, well, hey, I'm still able to do it, but you may not feel the impact right away, but you better believe it's changing the condition of your lungs. Just like our soul, with sin changes the condition of our soul. And the consequences are often too great for us to handle alone. And this is why being close to God, being connected to God, because he is the only one that can counteract the damages that sin takes on our soul. And look at Psalm 35, verses 9 and 10. Psalm 35, verses 9 and 10, it says, then my soul will rejoice in the Lord and delight in his salvation. My whole being will exclaim, who is like you, O Lord? You rescue the poor from those too strong for them, the poor and needy from those who rob them. You know, in the New Living Translation, in verse 10, it reads, with every bone in my body, I will praise him. You know, when God steps in to heal your soul, it impacts your whole being. When your soul is connected to God, you feel it in your bones. You know, when you heard, I was listening to that song, and you know what made it so special? What made me feel like dancing is that my soul was rejoicing in the fact that it's connected with God. And that my soul was testifying with the words that I feel the Spirit because the Spirit is living in me. So you sing it because your soul is testifying to the truth. If the Holy Spirit lives in you, it's saying, amen, I feel it. And your soul rejoices. But when your soul is not saved, when your soul is not connected to God, it's just a good, soulful song. We'll still feel that impact when we leave because our soul will still be rejoicing. I feel the Spirit. Your soul will still be singing that song well after you leave church today because it's testifying to the truth. But when our soul is not connected to God, man, that was a great song. I love to hear that song again, but that's as far as it goes. We got to make sure our soul is connected to God. you'll feel it in your bones. When your soul is connected to God, you'll feel it in your worship. Listen to Psalm 103 right here. Did I go ahead of my, yeah. Psalm 103. In verse 5, it says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." David, who is he speaking to right here? David is speaking to his soul. Sometimes we got to talk to our soul. Rejoice. Remember the truth. We got to give our soul a little pick-me-up. He said, "Praise the Lord, all my soul, all my inmost being." He's not talking to the church. He's not talking to his friends. He's talking to his soul. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, all my soul. Don't forget his benefits. There are benefits to being connected to God. Then he goes in verse 5, "Who satisfies your desires." Our soul has desires that can only be satisfied by the good things of God. It's like a newborn baby that can only be satisfied by the milk from his mother. Our soul is alive. It has a condition. It can be either healthy or unhealthy. It's fragile. It's valuable. It's important. It's eternal. It should not be neglected. You know, there are benefits to loving God with all your soul. And only he can satisfy the desires of our souls with good things. In Psalm 63, verse 5. Psalm 63, verse 5, it says, "My soul will be satisfied as with the riches of food. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you." You know, when we're connected to God, it's like having a good meal. I mean, it's like having a good meal. I'm not talking about fast food. I'm talking about a meal where somebody was in the kitchen for hours, sweating, wiping their brow with the apron and singing while you can taste the song in their food. I mean, just singing gospel. I don't care what they're singing, but they're singing by that stove. It's hot. They're laboring the love. They take careful thought about the presentation. They put it down on the table. They make sure you got some good Kool-Aid or iced tea or your cold water, whatever you guys want to drink. And it's there. You sit, you eat it, you enjoy it, and you just know. Man, how do you do that? I mean, you can't explain it. It's so good. And it's so good because you feel satisfied. You even get sleepy. And you wake up and you go back in for seconds. But you see, our soul can only be satisfied with God. God is soul food. The question is, are you feeding your soul what it needs? You know, I think about going to a buffet line. Wouldn't it be great if you can go to a buffet and eat enough to last you all week? Wouldn't that be awesome? Like, you can just go to a buffet, you know, you pay your price, and you just eat, and you're full for the rest of the week. But you and I, we know that that's not going to happen, right? We know. I mean, my family's been kicked out of a buffet once. I mean, that was embarrassing. My little brothers, man, them boys can eat. They were like, no more, you go home. I was like, wow, I'm not with them. They got kicked out the buffet. But that would be awesome, right? You go in, you pay the price, you pile it on your plate. You don't worry about people judging you about eating your fried chicken. You just put it on there. your greasy collard greens and everything. You just put it on there because you're eating for the week. But we know that that doesn't work. No matter how much you and I eat off that buffet, the next day we're going to be hungry again. And you're going to need to eat again. Yet, this isn't how we approach our need for spiritual sustenance. We feed our souls one day of the week and then starve it for six. As though what happens on Sunday is enough to last us all week. Listen to what Jesus says here, and we're going to wrap this up in John chapter 6, verse 58. It says, "This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever." You know, our soul longs for things eternal. Our soul can only be fed with eternal food. You can't feed your soul with something that's going to last only for a day. You got to feed your soul something that it needs, something that will keep it healthy. And that something is God himself. God is soul food. I want to encourage you to take this most important part of your life seriously. Don't neglect it. If you're visiting with us today, I want to encourage you to prioritize by setting up time to study the Bible. Don't assume that your soul is good. It's like going to the hospital. It's like going to the doctor. You put it off for years. You knew you need to go. But maybe you're afraid of what the doctor was going to tell you. Maybe he was going to tell you to stop eating soul food. Maybe he's going to tell you that you need to, you know, go and meditate. You need to take medication. Maybe he's going to give you, or you know, maybe he may just give you a good bill of health. You don't know, but you can't find out unless you look, unless you go to the hospital. Just like none of us knew the condition of our soul until we sat down and had the spiritual doctor show us through his word, this is where your soul is at. You know, one of the things I love about Jesus is that when someone was close, he didn't hesitate to tell them. Right before this passage in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, a scholar, one of the scribes, had asked Jesus a question. And Jesus said, "You know, you're not far from the kingdom of God." I believe that to be true for a lot of us here today. You're not far from the kingdom of God, but you got to make that step. And whatever excuse is keeping you from prioritizing your soul, let me encourage you, make it no more. So next time we get together, we're going to look at some soul searching. We're going to talk about the conditions of the soul. Amen? I love you guys.